Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Today is day 15, and we'll be covering Chapter 9, Part 1, in the TAN edition of the book covering the life in Carmel of the Little Flower. But before we jump into this timeless memoir and spiritual guide, let us begin with a short prayer written by St. Thérèse of Lisieux, entitled To the Holy Face. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. O adorable face of Jesus, so beauty which ravishes my heart, vouchsafe to impress on my soul thy divine likeness, so that it may not be possible for thee to look at thy spouse without beholding thyself. O my beloved, for love of thee, I am content not to see here on earth the sweetness of thy glance, nor to feel the ineffable kiss of thy sacred lips, but I beg of thee to inflame me with thy love, so that it may consume me quickly, and that soon Thérèse of the Holy Face may behold thy glorious face in heaven. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. The story of a soul written under obedience has received universal demand as it points out spiritual childhood. Pope Pius XI said that it brings great profit to souls, and that's because of it kindles charity. Last time we discussed the importance of those called to leave the world and how they need to do that without delay. And we talked about her oblation to be a victim of merciful love. Today, we'll take a look at many things while she was living in Carmel, like the beginning of her mortal ailment of tuberculosis, and then some points and analogies she makes of that great spiritual level to go through, the dark night of the soul. There's a concern about celebrity priests and religious. Some people see certain priests that are really popular, doing God's work, promoting the art of exorcism, or there's religious that get a name for themselves for being holy. And there's some critics that explain that these priests and these religious are just being celebrities. They're just trying to gain fame. But there's a difference, because there's some true souls that really just want to do what's right, and God pulls them out into the public so that they can be taught and they can learn how to make it to heaven. But we know that if they're fake, eventually these celebrity priests or religious are going to crash and burn. But the real ones that become, quote, celebrities, they're the ones that bear exponential fruit. And this is what the Little Flower says. We find in the lives of the saints that many of them, when they died, left nothing by which we might remember them, and no writings at all. Yet there are others, like our Holy Mother Saint Teresa, who have enriched the Church with their wonderful works, who were not afraid to make known the secrets of the king. You see that phrase that she mentions from Tobias? To make known the secrets of the king, that he may be the better known and loved. So, in conclusion, those who seek the divine will and become famous, they're really doing good work for the kingdom. And Thérèse mentions that All these friends of God have followed the guidance of the Holy Spirit, who inspired the prophet to write, "Tell the just man that all is well." Yes, all is well when one seeks nothing but the divine will. That is why the little flower obeys Jesus by trying to please those who hold his place on earth. So she wrote the story of the soul under obedience. She had no idea that this book would be made known to the world and has received popular acclaim. And she continues, "Instead of allowing this to discourage me, I say to myself, God would never inspire me with desires which cannot be realized." So we see there, when souls are truly in the interior life, every inspiration that comes from God, they're able to discern. And those inspirations that bring them peace because they're from God, they act them out. And that's the difference between a saint and a sinner. Then Saint Therese speaks about the little way, and she includes many beautiful scriptural verses that solidify this way that is that she's known for of getting to heaven. Quote, "I went closer to God, feeling sure that I was on the right path. But as I wanted to know what he would do to a little one, I continued my search. This is what I found. You shall be carried at the breasts and upon the knees. As one whom the mother caresseth, so will I comfort you." My heart, that's Isaiah, my heart had never been moved by such tender and consoling words before. End of quote. So we just see that the theme of being a spiritual child is so important. Jesus mentions it often. If you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, become like one of these, and he was holding a child. When receiving communion at the communion realm, the communicant kneels down and receives on the tongue, just like as an infant, they receive milk from their mother's breast. Then she speaks about spiritual maturity versus age in terms of time and years. "When shall I reach old age? It seems to me it might just as well be now as later. For in your eyes, 2,000 years are but a single day." There's so much wisdom in this that the spiritually proficient and perfect, they are drawn by God in an accelerated pace as they go higher and higher in the interior life. And so those that go into the spiritual marriage, which is also called the transforming union, they're the ones that are closest to God now, and they have the highest thrones in heaven. So it's not so much how old someone is or how many gray hairs they have, which many times there's great wisdom there, but even the youth can have a spiritual wisdom beyond those with gray hairs. If they just listen to the saints and do what they say, because their lives are so beautiful, as we see in Saint Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face. And she speaks about how to be full of humility. Well, a statement that is full of humility. And she says this, "I am too little now to be vain, too little to know how to coin fine phrases indicating how very humble I am. I prefer to say quite simply, quote, 'He that is mighty has done great things for me,' from Luke chapter 1, from the Magnificat of Our Lady to Saint Gabriel during the Annunciation, continuing with Saint Therese. "And the greatest thing he has done is to show me how insignificant I am and how incapable of doing any good." So that's the secret, dear souls. If we can see that God is everything and we are nothing, that's a great spiritual hurdle to overcome. Because when one sincerely believes that, then they've arrived at a certain level in the spiritual life that can be that spiritual basement so that a spiritual edifice can be built upon that humility. Then we hear about the beginning of her mortal element of tuberculosis. And notice, dear soul, how she accepted this not with trepidation, but actually with elation and joy. Quote, I'd scarcely laid my head upon the pillow when I felt a burning stream rise to my lips. So she had been mentioning earlier, as she's writing to Mother Marie de Gonzague, she's speaking how she was very strong during the Lenten sacrifices and doing all the penances required of her, just as the community, and she was going good until this happened. And then she was even strong after that, but she could sense this was the beginning of what would be the end. Then she speaks about the dark night of the soul, and she gives us 4 points and 3 analogies. So the first point, the thought of heaven had always been a joy to me. Now it brought torment and conflict. So the dark night of the soul, as we can see in that statement, is it's the beginning of the unit of way, because the soul has zero consolations from thinking about things like heaven. In fact, it brings great pain to souls, and they have a darkness like a wall between heaven and their soul. But spiritual masters say that this darkness helps the soul to see things that it couldn't see before. Just like when the sun sets and it's dark, one can see the stars in the sky that one wouldn't be able to see while the sun was out shining. Then she makes an analogy about the dark night of the soul. As I just mentioned, I am a dark tunnel, and you would have to go through it yourself to understand how dark it is, but a comparison may give you an idea. Suppose I had been born in a land which was always deep in fog. I should never have seen the beauties of nature, never a ray of sunlight. But from my childhood, I should have heard about them, should have known I was in exile, and that there was another land I was bound to seek. So the point there is a dark tunnel. Then we have a second analogy. Then suddenly the fog about me seems to enter my very soul and fill it to such an extent that I cannot even find there the lovely picture I had formed of my homeland. Everything has disappeared. And continuing, the very darkness seems to echo the voices of those who do not believe and mocks at me. So there we see the darkness is external, just like walking in the fog in a tunnel. The one can't see around, but when that fog and darkness comes into the soul, it's extremely painful. And that's what's required in order to be elevated to these higher states of union with God. And she gives us great examples. Then she gives us another point about the dark night. Practice my faith, even though it brings me joy. I have made more acts of faith in the last year than during all the rest of my life. So how when God pits the soul in the dark night, he takes away the consolations of faith, hope, and love, and he takes away himself. I mean, he makes one not felt anymore, even though he's still with the soul. He actually is coming closer. But one doesn't have the consolation of faith anymore, and so one has to make acts of faith. And that is what Thérèse was doing. She was practicing her faith, even though it brings her no joy. And then another point is this. The more personal the suffering, and the more hidden from the eyes of the world, the more pleasing it is to you, my God. And so we hear about this echoed in Ash Wednesday, and how when fasting, Holy Scriptures talks about not making your face look like you're fasting, but to look like nothing's happening to you when one suffers through trials and fasting. And with a dark night of the soul, one will most likely get through it quickly if they keep this to themselves. Of course, they need to speak to their confessor and spiritual director, but not to broadcast that one's going through this dark night to the soul, because if one does it correctly, their reward will be in heaven. But if they do it now, it says in scripture that their reward will be here, and we don't want that. Then she makes another analogy, the dark night of the soul, speaking about the night of nothingness. The veil of faith is almost torn apart, yet it is no longer a veil, it is a wall reaching almost to heaven, shutting out the stars, so it is a wall. It's a very good analogy, and many that have gone through the dark night say that you can't describe it in words, it's so hard. Then she gives another point about the dark night of the soul, the fourth and last point. It takes away from me any natural satisfaction I might feel in longing for heaven. So it takes abandonment. And that's what we'll conclude with. Thérèse, she reminds me of that great abandonment that's needed for those who want to become saints. And this is what she says. I am perfectly content to go on suffering in body and soul for years, if that would please God. I am not in the least afraid of living for a long time. I am ready to go on fighting. You see, she doesn't care when it's time for the good Lord to take her from the world. She just wants what the Lord God wants of her. And that brings us to the end of day 15 in our study of the story of the soul. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in your spiritual life. Next time, we'll be discussing chapter 9, part 2, in which the little flower recounts what's the secret of fraternal charity, and also how very important it is not to judge others. Until then, God bless.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by TAN. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support The Commentaries and other great free content from TAN, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe. And use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Story of a Soul and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.